is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
God can create children to Abraham from these stones. He can do whatever he wants. In other words, it's not about who you were born. It's about what you believe or who you believe in. Yet some ask or some answer if you ask them the question, are you a Christian? And they will say, of course I'm a Christian. My family goes to church. Of course I'm a Christian. My parents are strong, devoted Christians. Okay, but what about you? What about you? Are you a devoted Christian? Do you love God? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe that He is who He claims to be? And have you trusted Him or entrusted your life to Him?
Each and every one of us was born into sin. As Pastor Troy will reiterate in today's message, though we are God's creation, we aren't born into His family. You have to die to your sinful nature in order to become a child of His righteousness. Don't assume your good deeds or ability to follow the rules will get you into heaven. It's not enough. Only when you place your faith in Christ to save you from the destruction you were born into will you become a child of God and gain access to the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of John chapter 1 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
They'll treat you one way. When I was a worship leader, or I've seen it, let's use it with military. You see someone in their civvies, in their civilian clothes. And so they're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing all right. They don't treat them with respect or anything. They just think some old guy. And all of a sudden they have a commander's call. And the commander comes in uniform, colonel. He runs the whole show. And it's him. Oh, that's that guy. I thought he was just some nut. Some old guy who had a lot of opinions. I didn't know his opinions were right. You don't know because you didn't know the uniform. See, Jesus was clothed in a body. Earth didn't know God was going to come clothed that way. So they didn't receive Him. They missed everything that they were told. And they missed it. Verse 11 is even more specific, referring to the Jews not receiving Him. He came into His own and His own did not receive Him. So He's saying the world didn't recognize Him. It was God. He was the Creator. The world didn't recognize Him. But it's worse than that, because those who were supposed to be waiting for Him, those who were His own kin, those who were knew the Scriptures and were supposed to be waiting, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't receive Him. They didn't accept Him. The reason they didn't accept Him is because He wasn't what they wanted. They didn't, like, who wants to be saved from sin? We're God's people here. We are the standard. What we want is to be saved from the oppression of Rome. We're looking for someone to come in, take authority, put us back in that place of being God's anointed and blessed. And that's what they were looking for. But they didn't want someone who would call out their own wrongs, their own fault, their own sin. And you know, I think that is the dividing line. I don't think people don't believe in the Lord because it's too theologically deep. I've heard some say that's too simple. That's too simple. No, can't be that. It's too simple. I think it's a matter of the will. It's the one thing that we see. It's this one common thread throughout when we talk of Satan's will, I will. When we look at Adam and Eve and the choice that they had in the garden, it's the one thing that God won't. He will guide, but He will not overwrite. Because if He ever overwrites the will of a person, then that command to love Him can never be fulfilled. Because there has to be a choice. And the greatest command is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, He explains, how do we love You? And He explains, if you love Me, you'll obey My commands. You do my word, you do what I say. Why is it that you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The reason for the world's rejection of Jesus primarily is he's not who they want. Salvation, yes, but not the other stuff. You want someone controlling my life. You want someone telling me what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. We don't like that. It's that sinful nature. It's rebellion. So the Jews did not receive him. They didn't receive him. They rejected him. And the Jewish Talmud, there's some writings that are explanations about some of the scriptures, some thoughts like commentary. And they explain Jesus away in their own writings. And let me quote how they explain Jesus. Jesus was the illegitimate son of Mary, and no more. They also say that Jesus was called Panthera, and that he learned magical arts in Egypt and came to Israel to instigate a rebellion. So this is how they explain, hey, how did the miracles? What about the miracles? Well, he went to Egypt and he learned all of this stuff. And so they have these explanations, especially those who were there, they know better. They just outright reject it. So he came, but he wasn't recognized, nor was he received. That is, he wasn't received as a whole by the nation. Nationally, they should have received him. Welcome, here is our Messiah, nation of Israel, but they rejected him. However, there were some individuals who did accept. And that's the way it works in the world, too. The world as a whole has and will reject Christ, which is the way it's going to be. But there are individuals who receive him. And that's where we come to verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is a personal invitation to those who would receive him. You can't follow numbers. You can't follow the masses on this one. You can't go with the consensus. Well, what does everybody else think? Okay, then we'll go that direction. This is individual. The Lord, who is alive, speaks to every single person. We're going to talk in 2 weeks about grace. Every human being has been touched by God's grace. Every human being. But there's been a response to that. A reaction. So, you can't follow everyone else's reaction. Because your faith has to be yours. Sometimes you're the only one in your family. The whole family rejects. The whole family says no. The whole family never brought you up in the ways of the Lord. But somehow through someone, God speaks to your heart. And shows you a different light, a different way. You realize, I'd never seen that before. And you end up following the Lord. And you do it on your own. Because you try to tell your family about it, they reject it. They don't have anything. They don't want you bringing Jesus. They don't want you bringing this. And you're on your own. Some try to follow the Lord with all their heart. And no one's helping you. And trust me, you're not going to get help from the world. And you're not going to get help from those who have no desire to follow the Lord. But the Lord, he's with us. He's with us, he helps us, he guides us, he gives us everything that we need. We have everything that we need to do everything he wants. He's already provided it. It's just a matter of our willingness, the will. It's always a matter of the will. That's why we are consistently being broken down from our will. We all have struggles. We all have, but I want this, but I want this, but I want this. And it's not until we're able to let go of certain things that we can finally have what God wants. We don't have to strive to get what God wants. It's there for us. And the only one in the way is us. Notice it says, as many as received him. That word received, it's a word that means literally to believe to the point of embracing or accepting into your life. It changes what you do because of your belief. See, Satan believes. James went that direction. He said, Satan believes, and I imagine Satan believes more clearly than we do. Satan has seen, but that's done nothing for him. He's not embraced. He's rebelled. It's like a gift, God's grace, God's reaching out. It's like a gift. It's paid for. It's already completely paid for, wrapped up. It's yours. It's specifically yours. But you know that whenever you receive a gift, you still have to receive it. You still have to take it. You know, they can push it. You can stand here. You can have. But if you never receive it, then you never enjoy it. Even Peter, when the angel came in and did everything and freed him and unbound his chains, Peter said, get up, go. You gotta do something. This may be news to some, but you're not born a child of God. You become a child of God. What I mean by born, not the born again born. I mean, you're not born into this world a child of God. You're born again a child of God. You become. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Some people say, man, we're all children of God. I don't know why he would want to mistreat us. You know, we're all going to be in heaven. We're all children of God. That's not true. We're not children of God. We're creation. We're his creation. And he loves us. We're the object, mankind in particular, the object of his love. We're not his children. To those who receive, to those who believe in his name, to those who receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You aren't born a Christian. You have to be born again. Born of God, as it says in verse 13, says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All this initiated by him. This program laid out by him. We didn't initiate, we didn't seek out, we didn't create, we didn't sit there at the council in the beginning and go, this is a good plan of salvation. All we do is stand, and he offers. He did it all, did everything. It doesn't come by bloodline.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. You remember what John the Baptist said to the Jews who were standing around at his baptism? He told them, now don't think that you can be saved because you're children of Abraham, because you're Jews. You don't think you're going to heaven. Don't think you're saved because of that. Because God can create children to Abraham from these stones. He can do whatever he wants. In other words, it's not about who you were born. It's about what you believe or who you believe in. Yet some ask, or some answer, if you ask them the question, are you a Christian? And they will say, of course I'm a Christian. My family goes to church. Of course I'm a Christian. My parents are strong, devoted Christians. Okay, but what about you? What about you? Are you a devoted Christian? Do you love God? Do you believe in him? Do you believe that he is who he claims to be? And have you trusted him or entrusted your life to him? You know what I love about the Lord? It's like a vacuum. Have you ever... We used a vacuum when I was a kid, you know, I played around, had a little toy or something like that, and you put it real close, you know, just playing with it. And if you get a little too close, it takes it. Like, oh man, my toy. You know, at the time, I was a kid, didn't know how to get that thing back out of there. I thought I lost it forever. But I remember getting just close enough. When we give our life to the Lord, it's like the will is involved. But here's the cool thing about the Lord. Once the will is resigned, it's like getting that place of suction. God never lets you go. And God begins a work in you that he's faithful to complete. He does the work. But the only thing that holds him back from being able to do in you the good things he wants to do is your will. So, God has no grandchildren, just children. You are either a child of God or you're not. It's not through your parents. You have to have your own walk and your own relationship. You must believe in him. You must listen to his voice and follow. So there are two possible responses to the light. By the way, light refers to him as the light. The word light carries it with the idea of all of this. Something that reveals, exposes. So it reveals God's holiness. It reveals the truth. It enlightens. It gives us truth. But it shines a light on sin also. It exposes. We talked about the dark room last week. You can have a mess, but if the light's out, hey, no one knows. It's when the light comes on, you go, ooh, it's a mess. I'm exposed. Well, he exposes. He's the light of the world. And then he also shows us the way out. He even said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So there are two possible responses when the light is exposed in a life, and that is this: accept it or reject it. Receive it or refuse it. And there is no in between. Did you know that? You can't be a person who goes, I'm just going to stick in the status quo. I have seen the light, and I'm going to stand right here. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to take it, but I'm going to take this, and I don't know which is right. Take the agnostic approach. You know, I'm not discounting, I'm just not embracing. So I don't know what's going to be right. I don't really know. So to be in that position of status quo when the light has been revealed is to reject. There are no fence setters. This is one time when following majority is not a good idea. So the world has rejected him. He came, they didn't know him. They did not receive him. But what about you here today? What about you? 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This isn't like us versus them statement. Like, we're of God and the world, they're under the sway of the wicked one. This is a, we are of God. We see the truth because the whole world, the system, philosophies, everything, is under the sway of the wicked one. We can see it differently. We can see through it because we're with him. We're on his side. We're of God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Because you have a purpose. You have a mission. There's something God has for your life. When you're not about that, you can become divisive. Did you know that? You don't want to be, but you are. Because you compromise, and so you do these kind of things that God says, I don't want you doing these things. And so the world looks back and they say, hey, look at them. They watch those things and they're blessed. Their life's okay. They call themselves a Christian. Now you're divisive. Because people are looking at you and they're confused. What does it mean to follow the Lord? And you're not gathering with him. The Lord wants to lead us in ways that are right. So we need to listen. Take in his word. Study it to know who he is. Study it to know what we're supposed to be. There was a man who lost his keys. You ever done that? I know none of you have. He lost his keys, and so he was out in the street, actually, because they have the street lights. He was out looking for his keys, and the neighbor saw it, and the neighbor was like, man, this guy still hadn't found his keys. So the neighbor felt bad, went out there and started to try to help him find his keys. So they're searching, he's looking, he's trying to be a helpful neighbor. And finally, it's like 20 more minutes go by, and he's thinking, hey, about where did you lose the keys? At least narrow it down. I mean, we're all in this whole lit area. And the guy said, oh, well, I think I lost them in my front yard. What are we looking out here for? He said, well, the light's better out here. Let me say this. I have a feeling that some of you are here today and you don't exactly know where you lost your way, but you come here because maybe the light's better. You come to church. The light's better there. Get the word. Get the truth around godly people. Better light. Let me just say this. You can't just come to where the light is better and think you're going to be saved. There's some keys lost. God knows exactly where they are. There's something in your life he's putting his finger on. It's something that you hold on to. It begins with a man on a mission. The world rejected Christ, but what about you? You won't be responsible because you won't be responsible for your life because God said, well, I didn't create you to be in heaven. You'll be responsible because he said he'll be able to say, I did everything for you so that you could go to heaven. And you reject it. It's the will. Your mission, it's right here, it's right now. So, get busy. That's where you find your purpose. Like Erkan, who we talked about earlier, the guy from Turkey. Until you acknowledge this and embrace it and let go of your life, basically, you're always going to have struggles. You're always going to want this and you're always going to want that. And you're always going to wish you had this lot or that thing or that person. When you finally let go, that's when your mission takes off. That's when salvation, you get sucked right in, man. Lord, I give up. That's what happened for me. I grew up and I loved God. He was there for me, man. I loved him because my dad was a very hard man. I had my dog that I would cry with and I would cry with my dog, and I knew God was there to console me too. I'd cry out and talk to him and stuff. But there came a time, I'd never faced like an altar call, ever. But at this altar call, it was like God was speaking to me. The man disappeared up there. Everything disappeared, and God was saying, look, I've been there. I've shown faithfulness. I've shown my goodness. I've done all this. I am, and you know I am. Will you follow me? Will you just lay down your life? Would you just follow me? Will you trust me? And it was like the vacuum. I got sucked in. I don't even know what happened. Everything started to change. And God's done a work. Now, I have to say that we're not perfect. Once we do come to faith in Christ, once we do follow him, once we begin to trust our life into his hands, we're not perfect. There's still a lot of growing to do, a lot of fear we have. We've been hurt. There are a lot of things that we've gone through in this life because of sin. And so God works it out. He lovingly, carefully works it out. But if you belong to him, he never stops that work. You're in his hands. He says, those are in my hands. I never lose them. I never lose them. So, two calls this morning. One, if you've never given your life to the Lord, get close enough and let him suck you on in. Trust him. He won't hurt you. He'll be there. He always will. No matter what. Trust him with your life. Two, if you're a Christian and your life's not what you think it should be in Christ, maybe this is the day. You're here right now for such a time as this that you can start that mission right now. It's not out there. It begins here. It begins in your own life. It begins in your home and then begins to expand beyond that. But you tackle that mission. You tackle it like someone who is honoring the Lord. And everything begins to change. And you do the little, but God does the big. He does the amazing. It's crazy how much God does when you just are willing.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.